let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Thank you for being with us on the program today. Cleansing the Sanctuary of the Heart, Tools for Emotional Healing, is filled with stories of real people who have had the courage to face the pain of their abuse, addictions, and relational challenges. They have chosen to walk the path to healing. The authors of Cleansing the Sanctuary of the Heart, David and Beverly Setlicek, co-founders of Into His Rest Ministries, a happily married Christian couple with over six decades of combined clinical practice that uses biblical principles as a source for emotional healing. David Setlicek has more than 40 years of experience as a therapist, pastor, educator, author, administrator, and researcher. CEO of Into His Rest Ministries, he is professor of family ministry and discipleship at Seventh-day Adventist Theological Seminary at Andrews University, received his master's and doctorate in social work from Case Western University, co-author of Cleansing the Sanctuary of the Heart, Tools for Emotional Healing, Dr. David Setlicek, our guest on today's This Week in America. Doctor, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Well, thank you so much. It's great to be here.
It is such an important book, and I'm intrigued by the title, Cleansing the Sanctuary of the Heart. Talk about using the sanctuary as the model, the idea behind the title for the book.
Yeah, well, in the Old Testament, one day a year, the sanctuary was cleansed, which means that all of the sins of the people were gotten rid of and their connection and relationship with God was restored. And in the New Testament, Paul draws an analogy between the Old Testament sanctuary and us being the temple or the sanctuary of God. And so we use that analogy from the Old Testament, drawing it into the New Testament to take a look at what God wants to do in us to cleanse our body temples, if you will, not just from physical problems, but to go deeply into the heart, to try to cleanse our hearts from the effects of abuse that we might have experienced, the effects of neglect, and really move us into a journey of healing, taking a look at how we've responded to those experiences that we've had in ways that have been destructive to us and destructive to the way we do relationships with other people, and certainly destructive of our relationship with God too. So that's kind of the sanctuary motif.
You know, on the website, you say it's not the number of degrees nor the years of professional experience alone that best qualifies us to minister to hurting people. It's our own emotional healing that has been part of our journey through life. Talk about that aspect of it. This is not something, an academic practice that you're into. This is something that obviously you and Beverly, I mentioned all the years of marriage, these are issues that you've seen firsthand, aren't they?
Well, there are issues that we have seen firsthand, but we've also lived firsthand ourselves. You know, for example, Beverly came from a family where her dad was a gambler. Her mother was very codependent. Most of the adults in her family were addicted to one thing or another. She was molested at the age of three by an uncle. She was raped. I mean, she has this whole journey of life that she's walked. And so we have experienced firsthand the healing of God for ourselves. This is not something we learned in the universities that we attended, although today more and more we're teaching these things in university settings so that pastors and other professionals learn how to use God's methods. But having lived it and having experienced God's healing, then we share from the perspective of our own journey as well as the journeys of many of the people God has brought into our lives.
Talk about that journey and how difficult that is. I guess the first step is admitting, looking for that journey to take that path. Talk about the journey, not only what you went through, but what all of those that you counsel go through.
Well, the natural tendency that most of us have is when we're hurt, we try to self-protect. We close our hearts off so that we're not hurt again.
Yes.
And that closing of ourselves off really stunts our emotional growth and stunts our spiritual growth. And certainly that's one of the tactics we see that the enemy uses to try and destroy God's people, to kind of hold it all in. And there's all kind of research today that shows that when we're not given an opportunity of talking about the hurt and the pain that we've experienced, that there are physical, emotional, social, spiritual implications, negative implications, many, many years later. It's almost like the roots of a tree that are deep within, underneath the soil. You know, if the soil is bad, they're going to come up and produce fruit that's, you know, that's bad too. And that's what we see happening in the lives of people. So the first step is, as you said, you know, becoming willing to really face the truth of what happened. And again, it's not that we want to demonize parents or other people. Most of them did the very best that they knew to do. But they basically brought into their parenting what they themselves had experienced as children. And if that wasn't positive and helpful and uplifting and really met the needs of the children, the children were damaged. And then they responded to that by closing themselves off, by believing negative things about themselves that were lies, that they were no good, that they weren't enough. And they built structures to try and survive it, like controlling and performing and maybe living and thinking as a victim and maybe using addictions to continue medicating their pain that they never never addressed to begin with. So that's kind of an overview of that process.
You can see the process firsthand and walk through it in the book, Cleansing the Sanctuary of the Heart, Tools for Emotional Healing. Dr. David Sedlacek is our guest on the program, written with his wife, Beverly. Their website is intohisrest.org. You can go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on directly to that website. You said something that was interesting, the patterns of unhealthy thinking and behavior. Does that get passed along from parents to children? Is that common where we sort of assume they're thinking?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the Bible starts off by, well, it says in Deuteronomy that the iniquity of the fathers or of the parents are visited upon the children to the third and fourth generation. And how we see that being lived out is that when the love needs of children are not met for affirmation, for nurture, for protection, you know, for guidance and for wise discipline. And when these love needs are not met, the child is wounded. That wounded child is going to try to survive life the best that they know to do. But when they themselves grow in up to the place where they are looking for a relationship, if their woundedness is not healed, what they're going to do is bring all of that garbage into the relationship that they are seeking. And in fact, they're going to be attracted to people who are just as dysfunctional, just as broken as they are. And so the cycle is going to continue on to the next generation. And unless that generation gets healing, it's going to continue on to the third and fourth generation. And so it is very much a cycle of dysfunction and sin that we see happening in the lives of broken people.
One of the steps that you talk about in the book and some of the examples, the stories of real people, is learning to be honest with themselves and others. Let's talk about the honesty aspect. That would sound very simple, but I'm sure that's difficult to do. Easier said than done, I would assume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for example, when someone who, let's say, is addicted, and again, I'm talking about addiction here very broadly, not just to alcohol and drugs, but we can be addicted to, you know, to food, to sex, to relationships, to what people, what we want people to think about us, you know, to codependency. So I'm speaking of addiction very broadly, but one of the hallmarks of any addiction is denial, that we don't see ourselves as a problem. In fact, you know, what we're doing to medicate the pain is working for us. You know, it brings negative consequences too, but it does medicate that pain. So it's important to understand that for an addict, what they're doing to act out is really their solution to the problem of the hurt and the pain that they've experienced. And that's one of the reasons they're invested in not seeing it, in being in denial of it, and that's how it then continues, because we just don't want to face it in ourselves. So yes, denial is a very important part of this whole dynamic.
A chapter in the book on forgiveness, and I would assume that's a step a little further down the line, but talk about forgiveness, and I would think that's sort of what a fundamental core of getting through this process.
Well, you're absolutely right, and I'm glad you started by saying it's a little further down the line, because a lot of well-meaning Christian people think, well, the Bible says you should forgive, and therefore you should forgive, and they don't really see that person and where they're at in the journey, and that there are a lot of things that happen prior to making a decision to release that person, you know, to forgive that person. But forgiveness is an extremely important part of the healing process. It's because when I refuse to forgive, when I can't forgive or don't forgive, I'm basically condemning myself to being in a prison of my own making. I'm experiencing negative consequences in my own life that affect me physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and I'm certainly then not in harmony with, for example, the life of Jesus, where he freely forgave us, and he took the initiative to forgive. He didn't wait for us to ask, you know, to ask for forgiveness. He initiated it, and so this whole journey of forgiveness has to be done in a healthy way, in which we're not going to set ourselves up to be re-victimized. In other words, some healthy boundaries are important. Sometimes it might entail speaking to the person who hurt us and talking about what happened and how it felt for us. But there's a whole process of experiencing the healing of God for myself that opens the door for my heart then to no longer be closed toward the person who hurt me, but rather to be open to that person, extend love to that person and grace to that person, because I've experienced grace myself from God for what I have done.
Dr. David Sedlicek, our guest on the program, along with his wife Beverly, authors of the book Cleansing the Sanctuary of the Heart, Tools for Emotional Healing. Of course, the book's available wherever books are sold. You find it at Amazon. Their website is intohisrest.org. You can link on directly to their website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You talk about emotional healing happens when one encounters a loving God. Talk about the transformation that you went through, Beverly went through, the others who come to you will go through. When they find that comfort and that healing of God, it has to be almost visible, isn't it, when you suddenly see maybe a little peace coming over them?
Well, you know, the healing of God is more than just an intellectual concept. You know, we know that God is a healer. We saw Jesus many times healing when he was on earth. We read that in the scriptures. But for people who have experienced brokenness and abuse in their lives, you can't just tell them about God. They need to experience God for themselves in order to develop a trust in God so that they can open themselves up to God, their hearts, and experience the fullness of what he has for them. And so I know, for example, in my own life, I was raised in a family where it was required that we be perfect, that we not make any mistakes. I was raised with a lot of control exercised by my dad, and all of those kinds of things led me to respond to that by trying very hard to do what was expected of me, which was impossible for me to be perfect. In other words, if I have to be perfect, then it means I'm not human, because humans make mistakes. And so when we make these kind of demands on our children, I'm not talking about, I mean, at this point about, you know, overt sexual abuse or physical abuse or emotional abuse, but even unrealistic expectations, as they were in my family, sets that child up to try and be something that they were never intended to be, which dooms them to failure. And so these kinds of things require then, you know, us to learn to trust God through experiencing God, rather than just assuming that because the Bible says we should trust God, that automatically we're going to, because trust is built over time based upon experience.
A couple minutes left in the program. Time going by way too quickly. In this, you talk about the journey. People are not only being healed, but also equipped to be used as instruments of healing in the lives of others. Talk about that aspect, because not only are they feeling better about themselves, they're dealing with this issue in a positive way, they're able to help other people as well.
Well, you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it talks about the God of all comfort comforting us in all of our trials and tribulations, that we may be able to comfort others with the comfort we've experienced from God. And so whenever I receive something from God, I then I'm in a position that I can now share based upon what I have experienced. So if I just take that that experience that I've had of God, and I then move into someone else's life being led by God, God can use me very powerfully as an instrument just to share what I've experienced from God. And so the potential then, the potential for this to spill over from person to person to person and to multiply itself is tremendous when people who've experienced healing then share healing. And of course, wouldn't it be wonderful if our world were healed by many people going and multiplying that healing experience from time to time and place to place?
Well, this is where it starts. And yes, what a great place this would be if we could begin that process. Well, you have begun the process. If we can help you continue that process. The book is Cleansing the Sanctuary of the Heart, Tools for Emotional Healing. They understand there's an accompanying handbook with that as well, correct?
That's right. There's a workbook that gives places for people to fill in, to write down their responses to each chapter in the book. So the workbook goes through each chapter that the book has.
With us on the program, one of the authors, Dr. David Sedlacek, along with his wife, Beverly, authors. And Sedlacek is Sedlacek, if you're going to Google it. Their book is available, of course, at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. Information on not only the book, but their ministry at intohisrest.org. You can link on to that website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Doctor, thank you so much for being with us on the program. An inspiring book. You've helped a number of people along the way. Thank you for sharing the story with us on the program.
You are so very welcome.
With us on the program, Dr. David Sedlacek, author of Cleansing the Sanctuary of the Heart, Tools for Emotional Healing. Information at their website, intohisrest.org. This is This Week in America, and we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.